We're Dr. Gary and Barb Rosberg, America's Family Coaches, and I want to welcome you to the program today. And Jen Hansacker, who's our producer, and you hear her voice on every one of our programs, is joining me in the studio and is helping me to kind of unpack this new resource called Guard Your Heart Men's Edition.
This is an excellent resource, Gary, and I'll tell you, the title Men's Edition piqued my interest because as a woman and a wife and a mother of a boy, I'm always so interested to understand.
Well, can I make a deal for you, Jen?
Oh.
We have it in ebook form for the Nook, for the iPad, or in print form. And Barb would even sign it for you.
It is so excellent. Gary, I said off air, when I read it, I kept thinking, this is so good. You know, page after page with just really great, helpful information. And today we're going to talk about one of the chapters, which piqued my interest, and that is control.
Yeah.
And what drives control in any relationship, but especially in a man, in a marriage. You know, what drives that?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. We are admonished. I mean, we are directed by Paul to exercise self-control. I mean, self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. But there's nothing in Scripture that affirms or blesses us controlling another person. And every one of our listeners, and Jen, I'm sure it's true for you, and I know it is for me, and it's for Barb, that, you know what, we have lived with people in our life that are controlling people. And so what is the root of that control? Where does that control come from? I know that the impact of it, and we're not going to camp out on this, is that it squishes our own sense of self. It kills gifts in us when another person is controlling us. I think it zaps the life and the vitality out of a relationship. And when we are controlling other people, you know what, we're miserable and they're miserable. And so it really is something that needs to be confronted. So when I wrote the book, Guard Your Heart, I looked at what are the subtle areas, the subtle attacks on the chest of a man. And many times control is one of them because we've been controlled and we just perpetuate that pattern into the next generation, or we have never had any sense of boundary. And so in order to try to get some sense of equilibrium, we step into controlling rather than leading and serving, and it all gets kind of confused. But there are some roots to control, and that's probably a good thing to unpack.
Let's definitely do that. You talk about the four faces of control.
Yeah.
So tell us what those are, and then let's talk about where you think the biggest danger lies in those four.
I think the biggest one is the first one, and it's fear. I wear this black jelly band on my wrist, my left wrist, that says the great command, do not be afraid, 88 times. Because 88 times in Scripture, the words do not be afraid are stated. And I've been wearing that for several months because of some situations in my life that were stirring fear. I mean, everything from the cancer I just went through to stuff going on in our kids' lives, Barb's aging parents, illnesses, relationship difficulties. I mean, there's just a lot of stuff. And when stuff gets raised up, then many times it stirs fear. And so when a man experiences fear, which is a very primary emotion, many times it comes out as anger, it comes out as indifference, it comes out as passivity, it comes out as withdrawal, comes out as anxiety, depression. But fear is a primary emotion, Jen. And yet we are taught in Scripture to fear not. I mean, the word fear, I think, is like 350 times in the Bible. But do not be afraid. And you know what? I need to be reminded not to be afraid. I remember years ago going through a depression, and I grabbed a bottle of water and my Bible and sat on a park bench. I think it was in Atlantic, Iowa. And I remember just saying to God, I'm not leaving this bench till I get something. And, you know, people were walking by with their kids wondering, who is this strange guy in town? And, you know, strange town, a strange guy in a strange town. And where I really landed was in Exodus when Scripture says, do not be afraid. You know, I will fight for you. You only need to be still. And you know what? That I underlined it. I signed it. I called Barb and I said, I'm coming home. And that's giving me hope. I can't acquiesce to the fear. I need to fear God. I heard Chuck Swindoll, you know, a number of years ago say, I don't fear man, I only fear God. And I thought, I fear everybody. I mean, I want everyone to be happy. I want to be a pleaser to everybody. It makes me unsettled. But I'm getting to the point where, you know what? I'm not really fearing man. I'm fearing God. And that reverent fear is a good thing. But you know what? An irrational fear is one of the reasons a lot of us control, because that deep sense of fear stirs us to kind of then overtake another person in a relationship, and it squishes life out of them.
Mm, that is so good. That is so very good.
Yeah. You know, I think the second one is insecurity. You know, I mean, we are insecure often because we have not had that cup filled in our submitting to Christ and surrendering to Christ in a healthy family. Sometimes we exercise insecurity because our mom and dad didn't create a sense of security. And so we go along plugging in parts of our life with work or performance or, you know, trying to have a public image that's vastly different from our personal and private image underneath the waterline. And so that insecurity just kind of rears itself up, and we find ourselves overreacting with other people. And sometimes it comes out in the face of control. So, for instance, Barb and I might be interacting about something. She may touch a button in me that's a fear button, and I react because I'm feeling insecure. And it may be a fear of loss. It may be a fear of rejection, a fear of betrayal, a fear of exposure. And so that insecurity, guys, is another thing. Do a gut check on this. You know, is your heart at risk because you are deeply insecure? And if you're insecure, I guarantee you, more work ain't going to fix it. More women won't fix it. You know, more money or alcohol or substance abuse or your, you know, 401k, none of those things will give you security. Your security comes in your relationship with Jesus Christ, period. And when you are surrendering there, whether it's fear, number one, or insecurity, you will find yourself feeling that sense of security because you know that God is in control.
You know, Gary, face number four in the book that you talk about is, low self-esteem, which really goes with insecurity. But one of the things about low self-esteem that I found interesting is you really define it differently for a man than how a woman feels low self-esteem.
Well, years ago, I heard somebody say, my self-esteem is exactly what God thinks of me. It's no more, it's no less. So more is puffed up arrogance. And a lot of people even hear me as a counselor using the term self-esteem and may go, well, that's just that psychobabble from counseling. No, it's not. God created me a little bit lower than the heavenly angels, is what he says in Scripture. And so he esteems me. And so when we have a false sense of humility or worm theology, I understand that because we are depraved. I mean, the book of Romans addresses that completely. We are depraved, and so we ought not be puffed up and arrogant, but we also ought not just walk around with a false sense of humility. My self-esteem is what God thinks of me, and I'll tell you what God thinks of me. He loves me so much, he sent his son to die on a cross so I would have eternal life as I surrender my life to Jesus Christ, period. And that is esteem. God esteems. He loves us in spite of ourselves. And so when a man is exercising, I think, appropriate self-esteem, he's doing it surrendered, he's doing it in love, he's doing it in nurturing of those around him and becoming the man that God called him to be. And I think the same thing is true for a woman.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the faces you mentioned also, the last one would be aggression, both active and passive.
Yeah. There's nothing like somebody exercising aggression with us. And sometimes it comes through the front door and it's roaring lion. And it's that active aggression, but the passive aggressiveness. I was talking to someone the other day, and this wife was telling me that her husband didn't like the TV shows she was recording. And when she thought he wasn't looking, he just clicked off, record the DVR, and canceled the shows. So later she went and turned them back on in order to get back. You know, Barb's going to share with us how we can get this book, Guard Your Heart.
That's just one of the topics that Gary's written about in Guard Your Heart Men's Edition. Every man listening needs to get a copy of this book, or if you have a man in your life that you love, it'd make a great gift. Go to americasfamilycoaches.com, where you can find this book on Kindle, iPad, and Android tablet. And for those of us that like the tactile feel, get it in print edition.